A Step in Faith, Commentary for the September 26, 2020 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. An oft-repeated story originating in the mid-19th century shows how tenuous the line can seem between faith and foolishness. Charles Blondin, the famous French tightrope walker, was about to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope, pushing a wheelbarrow. Thousands would gather to watch him perform these feats of derring do. As a challenge to their faith, he asked the crowd on one occasion if they genuinely believed he could make it across. When they loudly claimed to believe, he then asked them who would be the first to get in the wheelbarrow and cross with him. No one volunteered. In their minds, he had crossed the line from faith into foolishness. This begs the question of when that line is crossed regarding our personal faith in Christ. Some doubting even the existence of God might consider expressing so much as a desire for such faith a foolish expression, lacking proper direction. Others who felt they previously expressed such faith and found it unsubstantiated might feel that continuing to do so would be foolish. Still others who did so and had miraculous experiences, as we have recorded in the life of Abraham in the Bible, may find it difficult to understand how something so real and tangible to them can seem foolish to others. This is not a new problem, as Paul wrote of it to the early Corinthian church. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Paul was a preeminent example of this. Based on his upbringing and education, the message of the cross seemed like dangerous, even seditious, foolishness. Ingratiating himself to his mentors, he was granted authority to persecute those who showed faith in Christ, a faith already condemned by the high priest. Trusting in the righteousness of his education and authority, he went about extirpating groups of Christ followers wherever he could find them. But while traveling with his entourage to Damascus, something happened he could not gainsay. He experienced the presence of Jesus Christ, who not only filled his head with a perspective he previously considered abhorrent, but also left physical change as evidence that the event was not simply a dream of some sort. Blinded by what had happened, Paul then was led into the city by his companions and was healed of his blindness by one of the Christians that he would no doubt have intended to imprison. Then on the strength of that singular, miraculous experience, Paul had the faith to change the face of religion. He carried that faith and the religion that went with it through the heart of the Roman Empire. His vision not only sustained him, it encouraged others to develop a faith necessary to sustain a powerful witness as well. As the flames of faith grew, so did the church that ignited them. While we have often allowed ourselves to become complacent in our faith and witness, it does not take much inquiry to discover that faith is still producing miraculous results in individual lives. However, this can be difficult to accept when one is not experiencing it personally. We may be tempted to say, fine, You have your miraculous experience. I have faith too. So where is my miracle? But is there a place in our experience that we can justify abandoning faith once that point is reached? Or does faith require a lifetime commitment for us to be dealt miraculous experiences? Can we imagine Paul, Moses, or Daniel saying, "Where is my miracle? If there's none, I'm out of here." Or perhaps even worse, if I don't get the specific miracle I demand, then there's no God? Most often, the latter is a response to a desire for healing, although it may also be about other things like financial needs. Such responses reveal a commitment that is not complete, but is instead conditional. It is like entering into marriage with someone with the idea that if they differ in any way from expectation, one is fully justified in walking away from the relationship. Therefore, marriage is one of the stronger metaphors in the Bible for the relationship between the believer and Christ. Christ, as the bridegroom, is fully committed to the relationship, eternally so, and to the point of death. But are we? Or are we more in the vein of looking for reasons to walk away and seek something else? If our spouse notices us beginning to get restless and look elsewhere, are the chances that they will lovingly tend to our needs be more or less? Are we likely to experience a fullness of marital bliss if we are seeking an exit? Maybe seeking reasons not to remain in relationship with Christ will have a similar effect on the quality of that relationship. When my first wife was slowly dying because of multiple sclerosis, many prayers were offered and anointing was done. But despite all of that, she continued to worsen and eventually went to her rest. By the reasoning of some, I should have abandoned my faith in God as a response to his failure to heal her. However, even though she lived such a challenged life, my wife never lost faith in God and continued to share that faith with her family and others. This caused me to ask myself how I could abandon faith when I had less justification for doing so than she had. That would speak more to my weakness than strength of faith. Yet despite such examples, here we are with so many who consider themselves believers in a general sense, but would never get in that wheelbarrow of commitment because of the fear that commitment raises in them. Some of the most dramatic stories of faith in the Bible are found in the book of Daniel. One story in particular sheds light on the level of commitment that goes with faith. When Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not bow before an image constructed by King Nebuchadnezzar as commanded, he threatened them with being cast into a blazing furnace for their temerity. Their response to him summed up the matter succinctly. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. In other words, we believe in a God of miracles, but even in the absence of the miraculous, we will not abandon our commitment to him. Are we then, in the challenging time preceding the parousia, to show ourselves made of lesser stuff? Christ may have predicted that this could be the case when he said, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This may be taken in different ways. We may see it as a prophecy and generally true, while individually conditional, or in other words, true about others, but certainly not us. We may see it as a challenge addressing our level of commitment to Christ, especially considering the fiery furnace in Daniel, a chance to re-examine what faith and commitment mean in our personal experience. Several faith traditions predict a coming apocalyptic experience that will herald the parousia. Along with that troublesome time, the saints were often predicted as miraculously delivered in one form or another. If we abandon faith in this relatively safe and prosperous time, What will be our experience when faced with the ultimate challenge, expected to precede the ultimate in deliverance? Do we expect that the faith we have ignored for so long, the faith we have kept tucked away in our back pocket, just in case, will suddenly pop out to save us with a miraculous deliverance just when we need it? Maybe it will, for God has been gracious and merciful to us beyond our right to expect. But maybe we will instead find that our experience is made much more difficult than necessary, like being lost in the wilderness, wishing we had paid more attention to the survival skills we were taught in scouts, shuddering under a tree in a cold shower that never seems to stop, wondering if deliverance will ever come before hypothermia overcomes our body heat and brings an end to our suffering. Will we find that having an adjunct faith was adequate to our need? Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find more commentaries like it at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.